But moving on to the next study, I'm excited to present Lakshmi Goparaju. She's an assistant professor and project director at the Women's Intra-Agency HIV Study in the Department of Medicine at Georgetown University. Her research interests are in sexuality, gender, and HIV, and she's conducted research in the U.S., India, Ghana, and Nigeria. And I'm myself very curious to hear about what she has to present today in terms of what do women think of being involved with men who have sex with both men and women. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you all for coming, and thank you for the introduction. I have no relationships to disclose. We all know that HIV rates among black women in the U.S. are high, but I wanted to put them in perspective, so I just want to go over a few details. Black women constitute only 14% of all U.S. women, but they account for 66% of all the new HIV infections among the women in the U.S. And if you compare the rates between black men and white men, black men's HIV rates are 6 times higher than white men, but black women's infection rates are 14 times higher than white women. And if you compare white women to white women's rates are 5 times lower than white men, but at the same time, black women's HIV rates are 14 times higher than black men. And also it has been reported most of the infections among the black women are through heterosexual contact. It's something like 87%. And we don't really know what are the reasons for these high rates among black women. And some have suggested that men who have sex with men and women may be contributing to HIV exposure of black women. And we don't have National Sexual Health Behavior Survey, so we really don't know except for the smaller studies that we know, but in general, since there are no National Health Behavior Surveys, we really don't know how many men are MSM or how many men are, what percentages are MSMW and how many of them are secretive, how many of them are in open. We really don't have any of these data. So when we reviewed the literature, one of the things we came up, with noticed was not all MSM disclose their sexual orientation or sexual behaviors, but this non-disclosure is higher among minorities. It's higher among black men. It's also higher among Hispanic men. And there are some studies which showed some differences in MSMW practices with male and female partners. Relatively, they adopt safer practices with their male partners compared to their female partners. I think Brian also had showed that in one of his papers. We came across only 2 studies which put women in the center of analysis when it came to MSMW or the down low, the DL. One is the historically black colleges and universities, a survey done with them. I believe it's done by the CDC. And the 34% of the women in those colleges and universities agreed with the statement that the biggest cause of the spread of HIV is the black men who are living on the down low on campus. And then this the other study, which was also published, it was in-depth interviews with only 11 women who got HIV supposedly from their partners who were believed to be on the DL and they got HIV too. And in these interviews, one of the things that came up was, I mean, among many other things, women reported being much more upset when they came to know that their partners were having sex with other men compared to other women. So in this context, I designed this study to explore women's knowledge, attitudes, beliefs, and protective health strategies related to the DL phenomena and MSMW. Because women are also partners of MSMW, that's the reason we wanted to know what are women's knowledge levels, and if they know something, are they transforming that knowledge into action in terms of protective health strategies. And then we also wanted to understand how the social construction of African-American male sexuality, how it influences HIV risk for women. This study was done with women who are enrolled in the Women's Interagency HIV study. This study is a longitudinal cohort study going on for 18 years. We just started collecting data on the, we're in the 18th year of data collection. This study is being carried out in 6 metropolitan cities. One of them is ours in Washington, D.C. So I conducted this study with the women enrolled in the Washington, D.C. area. You all read that, so I'll move on from that. this study is funded by NIAID, Allergies and Infectious Diseases Institute, and it's also there are other agencies also fund various different studies. We invite collaborations. This is publicly funded. Anybody can come and work with us. There is also a counterpart to men's study, Multicultural AIDS Control Study, which is again in 4 different large cities in the U.S., again funded by NIAID. And for this particular study, the design is using focus group discussions. And I conducted 6 focus group discussions, so 3 with HIV-positive women and 3 with HIV-negative women. In this previous slide, you must have noticed, in our study, there are HIV-positive women as well as HIV-negative women. And the groups were divided by serostatus. And these were the major topics for discussions, their awareness and their knowledge, and how did they gain their knowledge from where, and what are their beliefs and their behaviors in terms of protective health strategies. And these are the major themes after the data analysis. These are the major themes that we came up with. I'll go into some of the details about these results. And before I go there, briefly to introduce the women who participated in the groups, all these women are African-American women, and their mean age is 45 years at that time, and half of them were positive and half were HIV negative. I listed the relationship status there, but one of the criteria to determine eligibility was any woman who was enrolled in the WISE study, the Women's Interagency HIV study, was able to participate if she reported sex with men ever. Okay, so we asked the women whether they are able... let me also mention this. DL, down low, this is a popular term, of course, mainly to the... It got wide exposure thanks to the mainstream media, and that's the term that was being used. So we did use that term in the focus groups discussions. We also used the term MSMW. But we did ask the women if they know this term and what does it mean to them. And... Mostly they know the term, but even when they don't know the term, they know the behavior. And we also asked them, where did they learn the term from? And they learned it from the media. like movies, reading books, or talk shows, TV talk shows. And then, but some of them also pointed out, okay, this is a new label, but the behavior has been around all the time. There have been some men who have had sex with men and women. You know, there were women who were like, who grew up in the 50s, 60s, and they said they saw it even then. Since we have time, I'll read a few quotes. So when we asked this particular quotation, maybe you all read that, so I'll move on, maybe not this one. Okay. And then we asked the women, how would they react if they find out that their men are secretly having sex with other men? And the first reactions were, women reacted at two different levels. One was the individual level, and then they talked about the social level, the larger level. And at the individual level, the immediate reactions were like, am I not feminine enough? Am I not woman enough? And this questions my femininity. And then we asked, so would your reaction be different if your male partner is having sex with other men? So is it like, are you... I mean, they sounded angry and upset. So our question was, are you angry and upset because he's having sex with other partners, maybe male or female? Or is there a difference between a male and female? And then they talked about the larger level social stigma associated with it. I would like to read these two quotes. Men sleep with numerous women, it doesn't sting as much. What society is telling you, it is not okay for a man to be sleeping with another man. So it's not that like individual reaction, but they're linking their individual reaction to the social level reactions, the larger level reactions. The difference is that you would think that a straight man, yeah, he may cheat with a woman, and I will deal with that if I have to, but not have the thought that he may sleep with a man. And then we also asked them why, you know, according to them, why do they think this kind of behavior is occurring? And these were like very, very informed discussions. And they talked about black church, black community, the expectations of black male sexuality at the larger society and within the community, and racism. How this affects them, if they come out, etc. So I would like to read this again. We are categorizing these men, and we are wondering why they do what they do. But they're all human. They're all doing it for different reasons. Some may be afraid, and some just are experimenting, and some may just... It's just a vast amount of reasons why they do. And we can sit here all day and come up with a million different reasons, but none of them would be the answer. They will all be the answer, and nothing is right or wrong. So I think what the issue is, a lot of times, as a society, we keep separating ourselves as if one thing is better than the other. I mean, I thought this is the best quote we got from the discussions that we had there. And they also talked about these black male sexuality expectations, how the black men are supposed to be strong, the macho men, the mandingo. And the women attributed the secretive behavior, the down-low behavior in African-American men to stigma related to same-sex behaviors in African-American men. They talked about the, quote-unquote, the impossibility of homosexuality among African-American men, which also would talk about the bisexuality. And then we asked the women several questions. So we said, I moderated the groups myself, so I asked them, do you ask your partner about his HIV status? Do you ask about the number of his previous sex partners? Do you ask about his condom use history? Do you ask whether he is seeing other men at this time? Do you ask whether he is seeing other women at this time? We were trying to get into the details. In general, we say, you know, sexual negotiations, but we don't know, oftentimes we don't know the details of that, and that's what I was trying to get at. And many times, women were not really utilizing the chance they have. Like this woman says, I'm going to tell him, to let him know about me. It's a HIV positive participant. She wants to tell him about her HIV status, but she says it's up to him to tell me about him or not. And then somebody pointed out that in asking questions, there are how the cultural norms play out among African Americans. You cannot ask whether you are gay, but if you ask, you know, are you sleeping with a, have you slept with a man or a woman, then you may get the right answer. And women often talked about the need for, they want to know so that they can make informed choice. They were upset with the secretive behavior. They, at the same time, like I showed the slide earlier on empathy, they were very empathetic. They were very understanding. They were saying, you know, these men, if they come out, you know, I couldn't put, because I took out a slide from here, but somebody talked about how it will affect the men if they come out and reveal their sexual orientation or say that they're MSM, how it will affect them. They're afraid that they may lose jobs. They're afraid that the community will not accept them. They're afraid the church won't accept them. For all these reasons, and the women were very understanding of that. But at the same time, to protect themselves, they wanted to make informed choice. They were like, tell me if you're bisexual, and then I'll make my choice. If I know you're bisexual, I know what I'm up against, and I have a choice to stay or remove myself from the relationship. People don't like to be blindsided by something that they would never guess that you would do. And this is a conversation from one of the focus group discussions, and I asked, when you meet somebody new, a new male partner, would you ask his sexual history? And one of the women said, I would, but I really would not because I don't want to know the answer to that question. I really don't want to know, you know, like what if he goes there? And then there was a conversation, somebody else said, well, if he goes somewhere, goes there, you have to go somewhere else. So there was, you know, back and forth conversations. But the point is, like, the women have a lot of internal conflict. They also talked about, you know, some people talked about domestic violence, and in some, if they're facing domestic violence from a heterosexual man, is that any better situation than living with a caring MSMW? They also talked about the unavailability of African American males, and they talked about high incarceration rates. And this particular woman was like, she didn't want to, for fear of learning that he has engaged in DL behavior, and then she has to make a decision whether or not to continue the relationship. So, I mean, we all face various situations in life, and this is a real situation, as different women talked. Is it better to live with a heterosexual man who is maybe engaging in domestic violence compared to an MSMW who is caring for you? Okay. Come to the discussion. In general, women were very aware and very knowledgeable of this a DL phenomena or about MSMW behavior. And in, you know, the communication, sexual health communication is not fully practiced. Even when they had opportunities, they did not utilize them. And there was a lot of empathy for DL men due to shared history of racism. They talked a lot about racism and how black men will be treated in the larger society, and even though we have all these legislations, they were insisting that these men could be losing their jobs if they come out. And then in general, heterosexism attitudes like, heterosexism attitudes when women said that it's okay for men to sleep with other women. That is heterosexism. Or gender norms, like not asking the men, even when you have the opportunity, or hesitating to ask whether he slept with other men. But they are more comfortable asking the men whether they have had sex with other women, but they were not as comfortable to ask. In fact, I brought it up and I said I read this novel, I think it's called The Invisible. And in that novel, this young man who is an MSMW, he falls in love with a woman and he wants to marry her, and then finally he reveals to her that he's also having sex with other men, and she says, "Why didn't you tell me?" And he says, Why didn't you ask me?" So I quoted that and I asked in the focus group discussions, you know, "So do you ask?" And they don't ask. And also, I think when we don't ask, I mean, I think we have to think the women's attitudes, the what women do or women don't, is not limited to just women alone. We are reflecting the social expectations, the social thinking at the larger level. And heterosexual cheating, I mean, for lack of better words, I'm using the word cheating here, heterosexual cheating is implicitly expected, and so we, you know, there is some knowledge in the society that we know anybody can be having sex with somebody else, but we always presume it as heterosexual. So because it's socially, culturally, to some extent, accepted and expected, we also have socially and culturally accepted ways to deal with it. Like one of the women in the groups, in the quotations, she said, if I have to, I can deal with it. And she can talk to her friends about it, go to her family about it, cry publicly about it. She can't as easily cry publicly if her man is having sex with another man. And so the impossibility of African-American male homosexuality creates problems for their female partners as well. It's not just creating problems for the bisexual men. And because we don't, as a society, heterosexual men cheating with other men is not expected. Because as a society, it's not just for the women, not just for the African American women. I'm given to understand that it is much more difficult for African American women, but in general, in the society, we don't, it's not part of our consciousness that men or women could be bisexual, that they could be having sex with both sexes. Because these are not part of our consciousness, they don't transform into questions. They don't also transform into protective health strategies. You know, all these are linked. So we don't have, because this heterosexual men cheating with other men is not expected, there is no lack of, we also don't have socially and culturally accepted ways to deal with it. So in conclusion, I would like to say the DL discussion has to be framed within a broader context, broader context of racism, broader context of homophobia, the impossibility, particularly these social expectations of black male sexuality. And then we need to, you know, and recognize that women experience this internal struggle about DL men. I may not be saying it here, but I have previous years I have attended several sessions on bisexual men's behaviors. I never heard one presentation, one comment from them what they think or feel about their female partners. But we saw it, the opposite of it, in these focus group discussions from the women. And we also believe that increased consciousness of social construction of African-American male sexuality and gender norms will empower both men and women. And direct communication would help. You know, the paper is about to be submitted in the discussion. We also listed a lot of long list of questions that women could be asking their male partners. I would like to acknowledge, just must have mentioned in the beginning, the Women's Interagency HIV study, where this study is conducted, is funded by NIAID, the Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. And this particular study, the data analysis and paper writing, has been funded by Office of Women's Health and Research at NIH. Thank you very much.